The good news today, Wall Street snapped its losing streak. The Dow up 75, NASDAQ, S&P each gaining 9. Bad news, though, and this has been bad news for a while, the number of Americans filing new claims for unemployment benefits rose by 1,000 last week. Economists had forecast claims to drop. The jobless number reinforces a view that employment recovery has stalled.
The political risks for President Obama are clear. He plans to meet with his advisors on jobs and competitiveness during a trip to North Carolina on Monday. So is there more he and his team or the Fed can be doing? We put that question to Paul Brandis, White House correspondent for West Wing Report. He joined us via Skype.
All of the people in the White House who favored additional stimulus are gone. Larry Summers is gone. Peter Orszag is gone. Christina Romer is gone. Tim Geithner is last man standing, and he is now firmly on the deficit reduction side of that debate. So in terms of further stimulating the economy, I think they're out of ammo. And of course, there's little political will on Capitol Hill for additional stimulus as well. And even if there was, the question would be, where does the money come from?
Austin Goolsbee, the face of the Obama economic team, is going back to teaching in Chicago. National Journal suggests he's a guy ducking out the back door, that really his ideas are not being well received, or maybe he's not even being listened to anymore. But you have to ask, shouldn't the face of the president's economic team stay on until there are at least some signs of a solid recovery?
It's really interesting how many Obama economic advisors have gone. He's not even to his third anniversary in the White House. Goolsbee is one of Obama's old-time buddies. They met years ago at the University of Chicago. I'm trying to think back in history. I honestly can't remember an administration where so many top economic folks left within 2 or 3 years. It's really just a remarkable. And I think that raises questions about, you know, continuity issues and who really has Obama's year and that kind of thing. I think the Republicans can make a couple of points off that, no question.
Goolsbee says the private sector should now stand up and lead the recovery. What are we to make of that challenge?
Well, that's easier said than done. I think there are reasons why the private sector is not hiring. And I think the answer is one that the politicians either refuse to acknowledge or they're simply missing. They're trying to get consumers to consume. That's understandable. We're two-thirds of the economy. If we don't consume, where's the growth going to come from? But data shows you and I have different ideas. We're paying down debt. We're saving more. Those things are healthy, but it means we're not consuming. So if we're not consuming, if I own a widget factory, I have no incentive to hire people and expand if consumers on the other end have little demand for my product. And that's why companies, in fact, are now sitting on about $2 trillion worth of cash. Do they really need more tax cuts? They've got so much money, but they can't think of any reason to invest in hiring and expand. So consumers have to consume, and we're not doing it.
You speak about talk of and proposals for tax cuts. We are going into an election year in several months, and it may be that the party that creates some confidence that it can fix the growth problem is going to be the party that'll have a real advantage. Are the Republicans on track to inspire here? They're still singing from the tax cut songbook. Is there a Republican candidate who's really out front on this?
Well, I think tax cuts are as natural to Republicans as inhaling oxygen. And that's one thing that everybody obviously is interested in. And tax cuts are something that, you know, benefit everybody. But again, they can't have their cake and eat it too. You can either talk about reducing the deficit, which is their main focus, or you can have tax cuts. And they seem to think that you can have both. But I'm very, very skeptical about that. Again, if you keep handing out tax cuts to everyone, payroll taxes, a business tax cuts, this and that, and the other, where is the money going to come from? And I've yet to hear any kind of credible explanation to that. They seem to think that, again, if you keep on cutting taxes, that will spur economic growth and we can grow our way out of it. Well, the past few years' evidence seems to suggest otherwise. But again, I don't quite think they get the big picture. The point that I made before is that we're in this long-term deleveraging. And again, they can pass tax cuts till they're blue in the face, but if consumers aren't consuming, I'm not quite sure how much good, if any, it's going to do.
Does that mean that nothing but time will heal this economy?
Time is really the big thing here. What politicians want to tell people that we can solve our problems quickly and painlessly. I'll play the contrarian here and say that actually it's going to take a long time to solve these problems. You can't get out of the kind of debt we're in that quickly, and you can't do it without a minor degree of pain. That's probably why I'm not a politician, because I think that I'm saying things that the politicians really can't. I think we're going to be in a long, hard, painful slog probably for several years. We've already been in a painful slog for about 5 years. I mean, the housing market peaked about 5 years ago, and even though the stock market has doubled since 2009, we're still well below the peak of 2007. So this long, painful slog is already about half a decade old, and we've got a lot more to go.
Paul Brandis, White House correspondent for West Wing Report. Follow Paul on Twitter at West Wing Report. Follow us on Twitter at WTOP.